Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. Welcome to episode 103 of The Gut Goddess Show, and today we are talking about how you can get to know your cycle so that it can be your superpower. Yeah, I mean that. I'm not crazy. I'm not on any weird substance other than some decaffeinated coffee with MCT oil in it. Going wild with my decaf, guys. But seriously, that is enough for me. All I need is decaf. But that is what we're talking about. So I love this topic. As you will hear in this episode, a little bit passionate about women or people who have or identify or have that kind of genetic XX chromosome. I know that gender can be sometimes exclude people, but so we're just looking at the biochemistry here. How we can utilize that for our good and actually how it can impact and benefit our whole lives, how we can use it to manage our energy, our exercise, our productivity, how we can really utilize this superpower that we all have, but most women haven't been taught how to use it. It's like we all have this thing. It's like we can all fly, but no one's ever shown us how to fly. So we're all just walking around being like, well, I'm just walking around. When really we could be flying. That's the metaphorical state. So that's what we're talking about today. And today there's going to be several parts to this series. So today I'm talking about overarching, what is your menstrual cycle, the four different phases and seasons. I'm talking about what you can do if you don't bleed, if you are postmenopausal, if you've had a hysterectomy, if you're on contraception, whatever it is, there's so many options of things that you can do. We talk about that. This isn't a conversation where anyone is excluded. So whether you bleed or don't bleed, whether you've had a hysterectomy or not, whether whatever it is, this is and can include everyone. And I'll talk about how we can do that. And then we also talk a little bit about the moon and how contraception affects it, all of that sort of stuff. And also the three basic actions and takeaways that you can do as of now as a result of listening to this. Okay, so I'm excited. It's going to be awesome. And this also incorporates a lot of my feminist ideology. So maybe that's why I get super passionate about this. But how are you guys doing? I really would love, like, I'm just sending you a hug right now. Just hear it in my voice and my energy. I just would love to give you a big, big old hug. How are you doing? Life here is good. I mean, I had devastating news this morning. Get ready for this. They cancelled Eurovision. I mean, I love Eurovision, guys. Graham Norton, the outfits, the passionate songs. Although I have to say, last year's Eurovision, right, was like, actually people were pretty good. I mean, I mainly love Eurovision because you tend to get people that maybe aren't always that great at keeping on pitch or key, and the outfits. I always love a good outfit change in between, and the drama is fabulous. And back in the day when you used to have teletext, do you remember teletext that would give you the subtitles in English if you were getting songs in various languages? And obviously the teletext interpretation was maybe not that optimal. Anyway, I love all things Eurovision, and it's cancelled. So that's, I'm currently grieving that. And in other news, I am up north, as you will be listening to this. We are taking the kind of self-isolating seriously. No, not really. We were meant to be going on holiday, and it got cancelled, obvs. So we're going to a cottage up north in a field in the middle of nowhere. So as you hear this, I'll be there, hopefully eating some food. Although I also have to say, the plus point of being healthy and eating weird food, none of the food I like to eat has run out from the shops. There's tons of quinoa, tons of organic broccoli. I mean, maybe that's just Scotland, because we're not necessarily known as a nation of healthy eaters. You know, buckwheat flour, not in shortage. Chia seeds, also not in shortage. So I've not noticed it. I don't eat rice and I don't eat pasta. So I'm like, sweet deal. Toilet roll may be an issue, but, you know, we'll just do like what they do in India. We all just need to get little taps, you know, give it a little whoosh. That's what we need. So yeah, there's my life. Those are my life updates. Otherwise, to be fair, I've been realizing, sadly, that my life is very well, is basically quarantined, unofficially, like my life is unofficially quarantined all the time. So nothing's really changed. Still work in my home office. Still don't leave the house all that much. Don't really like big social gatherings anyway. Yep, I am sadly the kind of poster child of the hashtag quarantined lifestyle. So yeah, I'm just thinking about the choices of my life right now. But anyway, I've yabbered on long enough. Let me know if you have any questions from this episode. If you need more resources, you haven't done the Gut Goddess quiz, if you want recipes to bake with your kids or because you're bored, head over to keziahall.com. There's loads of stuff there. I also have space for one new client starting the next couple of weeks. So if you want to do that, let me know. Otherwise, enjoy this episode and sending you lots of love. Excited to kickstart this series all about knowing your cycle and letting your period be your superpower. That's what we're going to be looking at, and there's going to be several parts to this series. So today is like part one, and we're going to be looking just as an overview of actually just what your period, what your menstrual cycle or menses is, like what's going on, because most women actually don't really know, to be honest. So we first need to be empowered with some information, because when we know how it should be, we can know maybe why it goes a little bit awry. And then, so we're going to go over the phases today. I'm going to look at how contraception affects it. We'll even chat a little bit about the moon, guys. Check me out. And then we're going to start looking a little bit in depth the first phase or the first season, however you want to call it, of the cycle and what can go wrong and how you can support during this time. And I'm going to be sharing with you different resources and all that sort of good stuff. In the future, we're going to talk about the different phases of the cycle, different kind of basic stuff that you can do to support your hormones. Also, we're going to look at how do you really make your period your superpower? So we have, and I'll talk about this more in another episode, but just as a brief overview, our society, and I'm talking as a woman in Scotland, so in the UK, the culture that I'm in is still a very male-oriented culture, meaning there is an expectation in general in society that we're consistent every day, that we have the same energy every day, show up the same way every day, feel the same way every day. And that's really reflective of a male hormonal cycle, which does basically go on repeat 24 hours. A healthy male cycle is a 24-hour cycle where testosterone peaks in the morning and then it repeats. So actually for males or people with XY chromosomes who have that genetic and have that, I don't even want to say gender because I know that's so in flux at the moment, but from a scientific perspective, that's their kind of DNA. They actually, their hormonal cycle, unless it's been being interrupted artificially, is a very 24-hour consistent cycle. Again, in a healthy male. Unhealthy males, it can be a little bit more of a pickle. And our culture has kind of created created expectations around that. So most women feel like they're always failing or are behind or should be better when they are maybe not consistent. Like they maybe have days at work where they're like, yes, I am on this. And other days when they're like, oh, can't be asked. When they have weeks where they go to the gym and they are on it. They're at all the classes, they're doing their yoga, they're feeling great. And other weeks when they're like, I can't be asked to get to the gym. I can't be asked to go for a run. I'm just going to sit and watch Netflix. Women beat themselves up when they're like, yeah, I've been eating so healthy for 2 weeks, but this week I'm just all about the chocolate. There's so much blame that we place on ourselves as women. And I would argue it's because we don't understand the cyclical nature of our bodies. We don't understand the biochemical process, the biochemical cycle that we go through, not in 24 hours, but on average over 28 days. And it's a completely different approach to living your life. And I really encourage you to take time to learn this about yourself, because it can completely shift your life, not just in terms of, oh, I get painful periods or I don't have a period, but also in terms of the expectations and the permission and the kindness that you can give to yourself. So I'm so done with women and with my, and I say this because I've done this for years. I will still beat myself up so much because I'm like, oh, I feel really tired today. Kezia, you shouldn't feel tired. You know, you're wired. You need to get stuff done. As opposed to, you know what? I'm going to give myself permission to feel the way that I feel right now. I'm at this phase of my cycle. I know for me that that means I'm tired. Okay, right? I'm going to give myself permission because I know there'll be other peaks in the cycle. And another way of thinking about our cycles, and this is something that I got from Claire Baker, who does, whose whole business is all about honoring your cycle and about bleeding and educating women around that. And I think she's written a book around that as well. So I'll link to Claire Baker in the show notes. But she also talks about her cycles as seasons. And that's a really nice way of talking about it. So today I'm going to talk you through the four phases of a healthy menstrual cycle, but you could also call them the four seasons. And if you're more into, if that's more helpful, then that's a really lovely way of thinking about it. I like to think about it that way in terms of, because then you have winter, spring, summer, autumn. And you can think about, if you think about those seasons, if you think about spring, think about how you feel during springtime. And think about winter, how do you feel during winter? You kind of just want to hibernate, get cozy, drink hot chocolate. But in summertime, you want to be out there socializing, lying in the sun, drinking a cocktail, wearing like fresh clothes. You think of fresh colors. So that can be a really helpful way of thinking about it. But this is not just about, oh, having nice periods. Or like, you know, not being in pain. That's really important. And I work with clients around that all the time. But this is also about how you live your life and actually honoring who you are as a woman, as someone with no Y chromosome, and honoring that biochemical reality in your body and making the most of it. I am done with women feeling like their period is a curse. It's not. It's actually such a superpower. It's such a blessing. When I was pregnant, because I've been doing this work with myself for several years. So when I was pregnant with my son and then breastfeeding, I so missed my period. Like, really missed it. I really missed that grounding to, and that cyclical way of living and just knowing what to expect and that almost the routine that it brings. I really missed it. And don't worry, I am also going to be talking today for those of you that don't have a period. Maybe you've, maybe you're on the pill, so you don't have a real period or have had a hysterectomy or don't bleed, whatever it is. Don't worry. I've got you covered as well. So there's no one is left out of this conversation, no matter where you are, postmenopausal, wherever you are, there's ways that you can incorporate the cyclical cycle and really make the most out of it. Okay, so let's talk about what the heck is your menstrual cycle? What is it? What on earth is it? So people often talk about it as their period. I often, the period part, often people think of just the bleeding part of a cycle, whereas it's a whole cycle from the time that you bleed, you know, and the whole time afterwards. So the menstrual cycle, it's really your body preparing for pregnancy. Now, I know for me, that statement used to really annoy me because it just made me feel like I wasn't just put on this planet to make babies. But on a really primal level, if we think about the cells and the bacteria in your body, they don't necessarily have higher levels of consciousness like you and I do. So their main purpose is just to reproduce, to be honest. And that's okay. That doesn't mean you have to. Just putting it out there. But it's really helpful to know from a biochemical level, your body, if you're at childbearing age, is focused on making babies. That's what it wants to do. Now, you do not have to have babies. That is 100% your choice, but it's really helpful to recognize that. So from a cellular level and from a health perspective, your body is going to constantly be protecting you. That's why often women, if they lose too much weight, will lose their period because their body is like, no, we don't have enough body fat to sustain life. This is threatening. This is a threat. Cut off the period. When women do intense exercise, it's really common for athletes to lose their period, partly because of body weight, but partly because of intense training, because the body's like, nah, if we get pregnant now, this isn't safe. And there's too much intense exercise, too much stress, too much threat. Or even women when they've had really traumatic times in their life, some women will lose their period. Again, because there's something in the body, that cellular response, that primal response that goes, this isn't safe. Or a lot of the time women might, that I've worked with, that maybe don't have their period, there's just so many other health things going on in their gut, going on with the food they're eating, going on anxiety in their mind, that their body is just not feeling up for. It just doesn't feel safe. And this is a really helpful way. Your body needs to really feel safe in order for you to heal, in order for you to thrive. Your cells, if your cells always feel on edge, always feel threatened, if your body, on a primal level, this isn't a conscious, you walking around every day going, oh my gosh, I'm not safe. But on a really unconscious kind of cellular level, if because you're under eating, you're not getting enough nutrients, you're not hydrated, you're not sleeping, your sleep isn't of higher quality or quantity, your adrenaline's really high, you've maybe got some infections, your microbiome is off. If all of these things, if you're eating foods that your body can't digest, all of those things communicate to your body that's not quite safe. And therefore your body is going to always try and protect you and protect your body's ability to survive. Your body is all about survival mode. So it's worth thinking about. I know as a feminist that the idea that thinking we are just baby making machines sometimes can be jarring, but ultimately from a biochemical level, that is what we do. That's why we have a cycle, and it's a great thing. And the amazing thing is now we're not just bacteria. We're not just bundles of bacteria and cells. We also have this high level of consciousness and spirituality and choice. So we can choose, we have this biochemical foundation, and we get to choose what we do with that. So that's how I see it. And I find that really, really helpful. Okay. So whether you want to have babies, whether you've had babies, whether you can't have babies, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, this is the working of your DNA and of your kind of primal biochemistry. Okay. So the menstrual cycle, this whole process is your body. The whole cycle is your body preparing and maturing an egg. So we all know that we get born with all our eggs in our ovaries. But what often women don't realize is that all those eggs aren't just ready to go. They're not just, whoop, I'm pregnant, me, ready to go. The whole point of the menstrual cycle is that an egg gets matured and prepared to be for conception. So you have this egg getting prepared for conception. It's ready. It's fully matured, as it were. And then it pops into your fallopian tubes. That would be ovulation. And then it hangs around hoping for some sperm to find it. Woo, having a party. And then it goes, oh, no sperm. Travels down the fallopian tubes and embeds within your uterine lining. And all the while this egg is being waiting around for its sperm partner, your uterus and various hormones in the body will create this nice, thick, kind of life-giving, juicy blood layer within your uterus, so that when conception does happen, there's this really nutrient dense, healthy place for the embryo to go and embed, and then ultimately start a baby and grow placenta and do DNA replication and blah 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 blah. But in a healthy menstrual cycle where there's no conception, then obviously this blood lining, this layer isn't needed. The egg isn't needed. And so at the end of the cycle, the body realizes, nah, no baby this time. And so your body will produce certain hormones. A lot of your hormones basically will drop for that kind of bleeding part of your cycle, which is the first phase, which I'll explain in a minute. And then you will shed that blood lining and the body starts all over again. So it really is, it's nice to think about it like a seasonal cycle. So you have basically, how I'm going to talk about it for simplicity's sake, there is more nuances and complexities to this, but here I'm talking about it in four phases. So you have your menstrual phase, or the bleeding phase, that's when you're actually bleeding, and that your start of your cycle starts on day one. So the day you start fully your period, the bleeding part of your period, is day one of your cycle. So that's the first phase. The second phase is your follicular phase. So this is when you get that little rise in follicle stimulating hormone. This is when you have this maturing follicular kind of, the egg is kind of getting matured there, and then it gets released into the fallopian tube. It's a really, I remember watching it at uni, this video of these different follicles and the maturing egg. And there was a video of actual ovulation when the matured egg kind of gets kind of released from the ovaries, and then there's these follicles that grab around like little hands. It looks a very precarious process. That's what I'm trying to say. how we have reproduced for thousands and millions of years, honestly, feels like a miracle. The more I learn about it, I'm like, this is such a fragile process. Gosh, women are amazing for this to ever happen. So anyway, so then you have the second phase, which is follicular phase, which is like the maturing of the egg. It's getting ready. Then you have ovulation, and this is where the egg goes pop, and is ready to go, goes into your fallopian tube, and your body is ready. It's all like, yeah, let's get it on, let's make a baby. That is your kind of ovulatory phase, and then that's the third phase, and then your fourth phase would be your luteal phase. So this is the kind of 10 days to 2 weeks before your period, if we're looking at an average 28-day cycle. And this is when the body's slowly getting the message, no baby, okay. But it is preparing that uterine lining in case there is a baby during this time. And then that is when your hormones will often, your progesterone will rise during this time. And then towards the end of that, a lot of hormones will drop. And then you go back into the bleeding part of your cycle. So you have phase one, menstrual phase. Phase two, follicular phase. Phase three, ovulation. Phase four, luteal. Or if those words are like, well, thanks, Kezia, that's not very helpful. This is where the seasons comes into it, and it's a really helpful way of thinking about it. Phase one is winter. So think about winter, and when you're actually on the bleeding part of your cycle, it's probably not the time where you're like, woo-woo, let's go party. You know, you kind of want to stay in and feel a bit cozy, especially day one of your period. You're tired, you want to rest. So that's winter, it's bleeding part. Phase one could also be called winter instead of that menstrual phase. Phase two, known as the follicular phase, you could call that spring because you start to get a bit more energy-like, you stop bleeding, you start to feel a bit more like yourself, you start to feel a bit more spring-like. And then you have ovulation, and that is full-blown summer. That is, take me out to party, wearing my summer dress, let's have some cocktails, let's be sociable, you want to be seen, you want to hang out with people, you want to be outside. That's ovulation. It's like this summery phase. And then luteal phase is a bit like autumn, kind of heading into winter, things slowing down, wearing more jumpers, getting less light outside. It's that kind of same kind of feeling. So that, whichever one you use, I often interchange both of them. But those are the four different phases that you can have in your cycle. So that's a big overview. And then you have different hormones that contribute to this. So you have estrogen, specifically estradiol, which is a type of estrogen that affects this. You have progesterone, you have your follicle stimulating hormone, luteinizing hormone, and testosterone also plays a role here in it as well, because we also have levels of testosterone, which can also go awry with women as well. So that is an overview of what is happening in your cycle. And a couple of quick things around, if you're like, Kezia, I don't have a cycle, I haven't bled for years, I had a hysterectomy, I'm postmenopausal or in the middle of the menopause, don't worry, there's lots you can do. So let's first look at contraception in terms of not having a cycle. Maybe you have an IUD or you're on the pill, so you won't be having this biochemical cycle. So what you're doing by taking the contraceptive pill or an implant or any other hormonal based form of contraception, whatever that is, whether that's like a, what's it called, the NuvaRing or there's lots of different forms out there, you are interrupting this cycle with artificial hormones, either by a pill or by an implant or by whatever, so that this biochemical process doesn't happen. So you don't necessarily get this, when I talk in future seasons about the different phases of your hormones and peaks and troughs, you probably won't be getting that, because depending on the type of pill that you're at, either kind of puts the body into this false sense of menopause, or some contraceptive hormones will kind of trick the body into thinking it's sort of pregnant or menopausal or various different types of things. So just to note, but that doesn't mean you're excluded from this conversation by any means. So we'll talk about that in a second. And then also there's those of you that are like, Kezia, I don't have a period. I haven't bled for years. I have PCOS. Maybe you've had a hysterectomy. Maybe you're postmenopausal. And then actually what this, again, doesn't exclude you, because I really think as women, whether we are in the cycle or not, this is kind of like our energetic pathway. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is who we are. Just because you maybe had your ovaries removed doesn't mean you don't have this, even if you're not getting the same levels of hormones, energetically, I think we still have this same process. And if that is you, then that also means that you can actually follow along with the cycle of the moon instead. So maybe you're not bleeding, you know, you don't ovulate for whatever reason, and we'll look more into the kind of troubleshooting certain things in the future episodes. But that doesn't mean you can't track them. Actually, the moon mirrors our menstrual cycle perfectly. So interesting. this isn't woo-woo. This is just from, if you look at the phases of the moon and the phases of the menstrual cycle, there's some really great correlations, and historically women would often use the moon to know where they would be in their cycle, and when we lived with less artificial light and more awareness just of the planet we're in, we'd often be a lot more synced up. So the moon has the same phases. So think about it, you have something called the new moon. So this is when there's no moon in the sky, and that would be the same as your menstrual phase. That would be the bleeding part. That's when you're kind of letting it all go. There's just everything, the sky is black. That's those nights that are really, really dark. There's no moon out there. It's super, super dark. So the moon, you can follow the moon that way. And then you have things like your ovulation, which would be full moon. And then obviously you have that kind of waxing or waning moon where you kind of get to that half moon. That would be similar to your luteal phase. And then again, new moon. So you can actually follow the moon cycle. So when I was pregnant and breastfeeding, not having my period, this was when I got to know the moon a bit more. I've always loved the moon as a child, but I don't know, just not paid it much attention. It's just the moon, right? And I thought by paying attention to the moon, I'd suddenly need to like start, I don't know, doing weird things, which you can do whatever you like. I just started watching the moon and was like, this is brilliant, because I wasn't having a cycle. I was pregnant and then breastfeeding, but I've created my lifestyle around this cyclical living. I really missed having something to anchor that down. It really helps me. It helps my mind and energy, and helps me to plan my working week and my life and when to see people. So anyway, so I got to know the moon, and it's really powerful. So if you don't bleed, if you're postmenopausal, get to know the moon. This doesn't mean this isn't like you start worshiping the moon or anything like that. You just literally pay attention to the sky. That's it. There's loads of stuff out there. There's a great book called Lunar Abundance, which I read a couple of years ago. That is a great one. So I'll link to that in the show notes. And that just is a nice introduction to the moon. And it's quite in-depth. You don't probably need as in-depth as that, but you can get apps as well to track the moon. I have a diary on my Google Calendar that tells me the different phases of the moon. And then sometimes as well for people, their moon, their menstrual cycle will sync up with the moon, so that women are bleeding at the new moon and ovulating at full moon and those kinds of things. So that's been nice. That's not super common because we have various factors in our culture that gets in the way of that. But historically, that would be more common. So those are the cycles of the moon. Cycles of the moon, cycles of your menstrual cycle and the moon. What to do if you don't bleed, or if you're kind of artificially disrupting this cycle in order to not get pregnant, and how you can still make the most of it wherever you're at. So this is a fully inclusive conversation and series that we'll be doing. So I really encourage you, if you're not cycling, if you're not bleeding for whatever reason, get to know the moon. Download an moon app on your phone. Just nosy at the sky at night. Do a bit of googly Google. Find out what the moon's doing. It's so fun. And you can make this your own. You can go as weird and woo-woo and witchy as you like into the moon, or it can just be a very, just a very practical, logical kind of tracking of, okay. And what this is, this whole conversation is really about, how do we manage our energy? How do we use our biochemistry? How do we use this energetic cycle that we have as women, as people, without a kind of Y chromosome? How do we utilize this for our advantage? For years and years, we have often been told that it's a weakness, that our period is a weakness. It means we have to take time off work. It means we're tired. It means we're bleeding. It means we have to go to the toilet. And I disagree with that narrative completely. Actually, if we can understand our cycles a little bit more, we can utilize them and really draw on all the benefits and wisdom and insight that we have with us in us. And that is what the world needs. It needs us as females in female bodies to really acknowledge and harness the power that is within ourselves, and not dumb it down, not pretend it doesn't exist, not be ashamed of it, not feel like it's a weakness, but actually learn to first of all, know about it, gain wisdom on it, and then utilize it. And that is what this whole series is about, is so that you can know, okay, this part of my cycle, I am so on it work-wise. I can get loads of stuff done. This part of my cycle, you know what? I'm really good at finishing stuff at this part of my cycle. So as I've gone through this journey, I've learned a lot about myself and at what I need at different parts of my cycle. And what I'm going to be doing is in this series, is sharing with you the basic blueprint. But as you implement this, you will find your own superpowers and your own interpretation of this based on your own cycle. There's some general overarching principles, but as you apply this and learn and gather data on your own body, you'll be able to fine tune this more. So for me, I know that around my kind of ovulation phase, I want to see people. I'm quite happy to have a weekend that's like booked with brunch in the morning and friends over for in the evening, and then maybe a coffee on Sunday, and then a walk outside on all of that sort of stuff. But in that kind of luteal phase, that kind of probably week before the bleeding part of my period, I still actually need to see people, but I need to see like one-on-one people. Don't want big groups. I often get really lonely. Or I feel really lonely. I feel super lonely and sad. So now I know that. I actually literally have it in my diary. I know that for about 24 hours, 48 hours, I have a period in my cycle where I'm like, the world's against me. I'm so alone in the world. But now I know that's not who I am. It's just what's happening with my biochemistry and it affecting my mind. And also, I plan in to see people now. So I think, okay, next week, right, that's a week before my period. Let's make sure I arrange a Skype call or send, a message or whatever. Just have a phone conversation. Just have those touch points with people I really care about. Also, for me, in the bleeding part of my cycle, lots of people like to really rest and take a break. For me personally, I found by the second day of my cycle, my energy is awesome and I feel best if I exercise when I bleed. Now, that's not everyone's experience, but I just know that from testing and trying things out, whereas just before my period is often when my energy is worst. So if I'm trying to go on like a 10K run, like 2 days before my period, it's like stabbing myself in the eye with needles. It's like so difficult. My body does not want to run for 10 kilometers. So that's just an example of how it can all work out. Okay, so that is the intro of the menstrual cycle and how we can get to know our cycle a little bit more and how we can let it become our superpower. So your action from this podcast is, first of all, we need to gain awareness. So I'd really encourage you to have a think about your cycle. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of resources and things to get you started. So if you are, you're having a kind of uninterrupted or unmedicated menstrual cycle, there's loads of different apps that you can use. I really like the MyFlow app. It really helps you with this process. The lady who designed the app calls it cycle syncing, where you kind of sync your life to your cycle. So the MyFlow app, I'll link to that. It's not very expensive and you can start tracking your periods in that. If you've been tracking your periods for a long time, you can input that data historically and you can start to notice any patterns. So using that app is great. And probably the point before that is, if you are not tracking your periods, I really invite you to. It's so helpful. It just means, like, imagine me, this whole thing is like me telling you right now, oh, by the way, did you know you've had like 10,000 pounds in your purse the whole time? This whole time, the last 10 years of your life, you've actually had 10,000 pounds a month that you could utilize and spend, but you haven't spent it. Why? Because you didn't know about it. It's the same kind of idea. And I know for some of you maybe have horrendous periods. I've had a lot of clients who come to me and they've just bled constantly for 20 days, the pain. So that, I'm not saying that is normal. You should not get used to that. That is not what your period should be. But when you bring balance and healing to your menstrual cycle, it is actually a gift. But if you don't know you have it, if you don't know anything about it, you can't utilize it, you can't spend it, you can't implement it. So first of all, track. If you don't track already, get MyFlow app, start tracking. I used to just keep a note on my calendar. Now there's all sorts of apps to do it, but track your period. You cannot utilize or change what you do not know about. So that's the first thing. It's not that difficult. but start doing that. Also, if you have any other symptoms, that's why I like the MyFlow app. It tracks your symptoms throughout, like if you have sore breasts or if you have spotting or if you're feeling really grumpy or really tired, you can all input that. So I like that. There's loads of other apps though, so you can use whatever you like, but MyFlow is my favorite and I recommend that to all that my clients. So number one, track. MyFlow app is a great one to use. And third one, if you are not having that kind of bleeding part of your cycle, or you're using different contraceptives to prevent a pregnancy, then start looking at the moon. Maybe grab the Lunar Abundance book, or just get, again, you can get other apps for your phone that just teach you a little bit about the moon. Just start paying attention to the cycle of the moon. Just start looking at the sky, seeing, okay, what's the moon at? Okay, is it full moon? Is it nearly full moon? I don't know, like just start educating yourself about it. It's meant to be fun. You don't need to be perfect at it, but I love looking at the moon. I'm currently teaching my son whenever it's in the sky and he's awake to be like, moon. Because I also want him to utilize, you know, or know about the moon. Obviously not necessarily in the same way, but so if you're not menstruating, then paying attention to the moon is a really great way to begin. I'll put some resources in the show notes for that, but basically your action is step one is to grow in awareness. And then what we're going to look at next week and in the episodes that follow is each phase in more depth and basically the things that can go wrong and what you can do about them. I'm going to do a bit of troubleshooting and then we'll have another episode of how to really utilize the energy and the biochemistry of each phase when it comes to productivity, food, energy, exercise. Because did you know there's certain phases in your cycle where actually it's not a lot of point in exercising because you're not necessarily, oh, especially when it comes to building muscle, I should say. So say you lift weights, you're actually going to build more muscle at certain times in your cycle than you are at other phases, which is why I think if you're ever going to use a personal trainer, this is my opinion, always make sure your personal trainer is aware of the female cycle. If you have a trainer that is either female or male, but has this expectation of consistency of training, basically that idea of a 24-hour reset, oh, you did this fine on Monday, of this, you know, keep pushing, I would get a new trainer. Your biochemistry is not the same as a male, so you should not be trained when it comes to physical training like a male. It just does my nine. So if you're going to buy, if you're going to invest in a personal trainer, ask them, so how does my menstrual cycle impact our training program? And if they're like, then you know, they're not the trainer for you. There you go. Kezia's top tip for finding, because there's loads out there that are great. There's lots of personal trainers out there that really understand pelvic floor engagement and different phases of your menstrual cycle and when to really utilize muscle building because your estrogen's really high and blah, 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 and when to really utilize stretching and mobility work because that's what your biochemistry is more set for. And if you are a personal trainer listening to this and you're like, Kezia, I don't know anything about that, then this is a great opportunity to learn because it's a whole added layer of value that you can give to your clients. And in terms of marketing yourself and be part of this movement of educating women to not be ashamed of their biochemistry and who they are, but to really utilize this incredible gift that we all have. Okay, I hope that's helpful. You can tell I feel passionate about this. And just to clarify as well, I do know that many of you will really struggle with your periods. So I'm not glossing over this. I used to struggle with my periods. I have had clients who have just had chronic bleeding and clotting to the point where they can't leave the house. I've had clients that haven't had a period for 2 years. I have clients that have just honestly felt deeply depressed and anxious at every, you know, 10 days, like it's literally they've communicated to me that they feel like they have a personality shift 10 days before they start the bleeding part of their cycle. I've had clients that have been in incredible pain where they just take the strongest painkillers possible. So I get that a lot of women's experience of their period is deeply uncomfortable, painful, annoying, just feels like the curse and that you're just like, I would rather just this to not happen. I do get that. So I just want to say that experience is true in terms of the discomfort that you're having, and it's very common, but it's not necessarily normal. So what we will do in this series is look at how we can deal with those issues. Because what I'm talking about here is your period is your superpower but it first needs to be healed. It first needs to be in balance. If your period can't be your superpower if it causes you to be like holed up in bed for five days of the month because it's so painful and you just keep on flooding everywhere. That is not, that's not right. That's not normal. We need to bring balance. That's a symptom. That's your body saying, hey, this is out of whack. What I'm talking about is your period being your superpower is when you're like, oh, yep, I stopped my period today. Okay, I'm going to take it a bit easier, but you know, I don't need to take painkillers for my period anymore. I don't have a personality shift 10 days before my period. It is a cycle, but it's not detrimental. It's not painful. It's not deeply uncomfortable. Yeah, it affects my mood and I have to adjust to it, but there's balance and health there. So I just want to reiterate this. This is not about you pushing through and being like, yeah, I'm going to love my cycle when I hate it and it's caused you problems for years. No, that's because we need to bring balance and healing there so that your true cycle can be of benefit to you. Because if that's the case for you, if you have those symptoms, the cycle you have at the moment, let's just use the metaphorical language that it's not your true cycle. There's imbalance, there's dysbiosis, there's issues there. So we need to do some work to figure out why that's going on and bring you to kind of your true cycle, which is one of more balance and health. And it is possible. And we'll talk about that more in future series, okay? But I just wanted to really reiterate that. If your periods are uncomfortable, painful, heavy, non-existent, it's not your fault. You're not to blame. You don't need to push through. It's just simply some data. Your period is a really amazing data point as a woman. Every month, your body gives you certain sets of symptoms that helps you just to check in with how are you doing. If your period is off, it's simply a data point that there's some hormonal imbalance and there's some issues that need working on within your body. That's all that it means. It doesn't mean anything about you as a woman or a person. And that we just need to bring more balance and healing to those things so that you can actually, dare I say it, enjoy your cycle. And if the idea of enjoying your cycle feels like a million years away, just think about it as tolerating. You just want to tolerate your cycle to begin with. Okay? So I hope that is helpful. If you have any questions about this, let me know on Instagram or on Facebook. I will incorporate them in. I don't know how long this series is going to be. I'm thinking it'll probably be at least 3 episodes long, but depending on what you want to know about, let me know. And with everything that's happening in the world right now, this is maybe the perfect time to take the time to tune in to your cycle, to the moon, and really ground into the woman and the body that you have. Okay, thank you for joining me, sending you so much love and blessings and hugs and fun from the airwaves. And I will see you next week for another episode of the Gut Goddess Show. Bye. So this morning I got an email with a notification that some test results for clients had come back. And this is a client who had been really struggling with low energy and joint pain and a couple of other issues happening. So we decided just to run a couple of simple tests, check some things out. And what do you know? A couple of markers came back, like low vitamin D, low B12, a couple of other things that then just really shed a light of, oh yeah, no wonder your joints are inflamed and sore. So I say this just because I want to encourage you. It's so important to get to know your body. This episode I've just shared is all about that, getting to know your body so that you can really give it what it needs to serve you and help you thrive. But if you are struggling on your own and maybe you've been trying to navigate this health journey with your own health, your own periods, your own weight, your own digestive issues, fatigue, and you're kind of not getting anywhere, then I know I can help you. So if you head over to keziahall.com and click the Work With Me page, you can find out more about how I work with people like you over 12 weeks and the phenomenal shifts that we can see change. So head over there, have a read, and then you can also book a free chat with me where we can just chat more and see if this is the right fit for you. I know that if you're sick and tired of feeling tired and sick, if you are frustrated and fed up, if you have been trying really hard but getting nowhere, it's probably time for you to take that next step. And I see all the time the phenomenal changes in the clients that I work with. So head over to keziahall.com, click the Work With Me page and book your call. I'd love to chat to you. I really would. I love chatting to people in person. And we can just see if you'd be a good fit and if I can help. Okay?